Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 17. I'm Dave Spadaro, and it feels like an exhale kind of week after all that has happened in this offseason for the Eagles. Free agency is all but finished, the NFL draft is complete, and we've got the rest of the team's program in the offseason to look forward to, and then, yes, fans, training camp isn't all that far away. In this Eagles Live Podcast, we're going to do a little bit of looking back at last week's draft, and we're going to take a look at the current roster, the safety spots in particular. We're also going to project down the road just a bit and dig into what number one draft pick Carson Wentz is all about. Let's begin in the deep secondary, where the Eagles made signing Rodney McLeod in free agency a huge priority. A starter in St. Louis with the Rams, McLeod was a bit of an unheralded name entering free agency, but the Eagles wasted no time getting a five-year deal done with him to pair McLeod with Malcolm Jenkins at a position that has been, shall we say, unsettled since Brian Dawkins left the Eagles after the 2008 season. Do the names Sean Jones, Macho Harris, Nate Allen, Patrick Chung, and Earl Wolf mean anything to you? Well, here we go, off the field with safety Rodney McLeod. Rodney, when you change teams, a lot goes into it. You know, the whole moving thing, getting acclimated into the locker room, meeting guys, figuring out the defense, learning about Philadelphia. How's that transition gone?
It's been going well for the most part. The moving process is one, you know, I don't know how to really describe it, but a lot of things happen when you move. But, you know, Philly's been great so far. Haven't really got on the town too much. Obviously been here on the locker room. Guys are great here. You know, everybody has their own personality and things like that. So they welcome me with open arms so far. And I'm just getting used to everything.
Did you bring all your earthly possessions to Philadelphia?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Then travel from St. Louis, bought everything. So trying to get things settled at the house. Also trying to, you know, get the feel of things around the locker room, playbook wise, which is big. Obviously, that's my job here. So I've been trying to get that in order and intact.
Is the operation day to day a lot different than what you experienced in St. Louis?
You know, a little bit. From the weight room standpoint, everybody does things a little different. Schematically, similar, but there's different terminology and things like that that you got used to. You know, at the end of the day, it's football, man, and you know, I'm able to make the transition well.
So what is your sense of what Jim wants out of you and Malcolm together?
They haven't really stressed, you know, as far as how we're going to do a single high or he's going to be down the box. Right now, we're just trying to get a feel for one another. I think that's what we're trying to do as a unit in general, just get a good feel for what guys are good at and how they're going to use us. So right now, I can't give any specifics, but both play single high. We've both been down there in the box. So whatever works for the best of us, that's what we're going to do.
How does it make you feel that the Eagles were so aggressive and expressed so much interest in you?
Man, it's great, man. Whenever you have, you know, team or multiple teams that appreciate your game and respect it, it's an honor as a player, and that's what you want in this league. And I'm happy to be here, man. Great organization. I mean, this is just day one to, you know what I'm saying, hopefully the championship journey. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Rodney.
Yes, sir.
His partner in the defensive backfield is Jenkins, a Pro Bowl player last year for the first time in his career. I caught up with Jenkins this week to talk about the Jim Schwartz defense and about his new safety mate. Here are three questions with Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm, you've had a bit of a taste of Jim's defense. What are you thinking about it?
I think, you know, it's going to be aggressive. I think that's the biggest, you know, thing I've taken so far is he's preached the word attack over and over and over. And so it'll be one of those things where we want to set the tempo, we want to set the pace, and it starts kind of with our guys up front. And so that'll be cool. And he also allows his Mike linebacker and safeties to really control everything on the field. So we'll be an extension of him. We won't be locked in some bad calls. We have the flexibility to get in and out of different tools. So I think it'll be a flexible attacking defense that, you know, wants to cause havoc first and foremost.
How is Rodney coming along in learning things?
I mean, he's a natural. He's a guy who's been kind of in that role where he's had to make calls. So it's been good for me, too, to get a running partner that really takes command of his side of the field. Frees me up to kind of do some more things and communicate more. But, you know, he's a young player with a lot of range, a lot of speed, and I'm excited to see him play.
Sounds like things are off to a good start.
Yeah, right now, you know, it's slow. It's this off-season, you know, phase two program. But minicamp went really well, and we're just gearing up to get to these OTAs.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm tight end Brent Selick, and you're listening to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Speaking of feeling good about things, that's certainly the way Howie Roseman and the Eagles feel about their eight-man draft class. We've heard a lot about Wentz, and we'll hear more in just a little bit here on the Eagles Live Podcast. But Roseman details the entire draft class in our exclusive one-on-one at the NovaCare Complex. In the first round, quarterback Carson Wentz.
Well, I think it's all been said. You put the physical tools with also the intangibles, incredibly smart, determined, grit, passion for the game, and then the physical tools, the arm strength, the size, the athletic ability. Really, he's got all the traits in his body to be a great player, but it's going to take time. He has to be developed the right way. We talked about this in the draft room, about that it's going to take all of us to make sure that he's a good player. But really excited, and as our fans saw when he got here, he gives you great comfort when you're around him, that he's going to do whatever it takes, that you're going to be able to follow his lead.
The second pick, Howie, in round number 3, offensive lineman Isaac Seumalo.
This guy was easy for us. Incredibly smart, good athlete, strong, versatile, really all the traits you're looking for. We had an opportunity to move back a little bit, but the team that wanted to trade with us told us they were looking for an offensive lineman. We didn't want to lose him. Turned out that this was the guy they had targeted. He'll start out at guard, but again, he's played left tackle, right tackle, played left tackle against Buckner at Oregon. He played right tackle against Utah, but we're going to keep him in one spot early on from the early going and let him go compete for a starting job.
Running back Wendell Smallwood in round 5.
Well, he was the best player on our board. This guy's a butcher knife. I mean, he runs downhill and hard. He can catch the ball. He can pass protect. 58, 10 plus runs this year, led the nation, comes out as a junior. Just when you talk about the running backs and the determination that they have to be good players in the NFL, he's got that. But you talk about that position, and we do have Ryan, we do have Darren, we do have Kenyon. He looked great. I think we talked about this. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that we can't keep all those guys. We're going to keep the best players, the best 53, so there's no predetermined number at each spot.
Offensive lineman Halapulavaitai.
Big V.
I'm never going to try it again.
6'6", 320, incredible flexibility. You know, that's one of the ones stouts at TCU, mm-hmm. and he's sending me videos of him, the flexibility. He's able to get his butt like about that high off the floor, which is hard, but he's got the flexibility, he's got the length, he's got big hands, he's got all the tools, he's got to get more consistent, but that's the only way you get a guy like this in the 5th round. We're really excited to get him. He was someone that we had way higher on our board. It's hard to find offensive linemen with all those tools.
How about defensive back Blake Countess?
Blake Countess, he was one of the guys that all of us just jumped off the tape. I mean, the way he inserts himself in the run game, his ability to cover the slot, flip his hips, cover deep, ball skills, had 6 interceptions, captain there. Will Muschamp, who was the defense coordinator, the head coach of South Carolina, when you talk to him about that defense, he says, that's my best player on defense. And so we were really excited to get him, and just one of the guys that we had targeted throughout this process.
In the 7th round, defensive back Jalen Mills.
Mills was someone we were supposed to be there in the 7th round. Had a great week at the Senior Bowl. I think he was looking at coming out last year. Would have gone way higher last year. Came back to school, got hurt in August, but still played through it. Starts 46 games at LSU, and you know they're almost DBU at this point. Can play inside, can play outside, can play safety. Just too much value to not take in the 7th round.
A player who certainly looks the part, Howie, defensive end Alex McAllister from Florida.
Yeah, I mean, his arms probably reach from here to Gainesville. I mean, mm-hmm. he's got 37.5-inch arms, huge wingspan, really good get-off, some short area quickness. He'll fit into what we're doing here, but again, you know, he's got to get a little stronger, get a little bigger. But there's value, there are blue traits in the body to talk about a 7th-round pick.
Your final pick of the 2016 draft, linebacker Joe Walker from Oregon.
Joe Walker, you know, Jim said to me this morning, you know, I rewatched him this morning, this Jim saying, and he's going, still surprised that he was there, because he's 6'2", he's 240, best linebacker coming out of JUCO 2 years ago, led Oregon in tackles, ran a 4.59, so we were excited to get him where we got him as well.
Believe it or not, now is the time to start thinking about summer plans. And the best way for your kids to enjoy the summer is to spend it with the Eagles. In partnership with award-winning ESF Camps, the Eagles are proud to introduce the all-new Eagles Football Academy, featuring both football non-contact camps and cheerleading camps for boys and girls ages 6 to 14. Camps feature instruction from current and alumni Eagles players and cheerleaders, a behind-the-scenes tour of the Eagles facilities, top instruction from the region's finest coaches, and much, much more. Register your kids today for the official Philadelphia Eagles Football Academy summer camps. Visit eaglesacademies.com. Now for Wentz, who reports for the rookie camp on Thursday at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles are excited to start working with him, and offensive coordinator Frank Reich can't wait to see what kind of ceiling Wentz has. Reich, who was instrumental in the quarterback draft evaluation process, loves the combination of physical skills and mental acumen Wentz has displayed so far.
Carson has literally passed every test with flying colors, off the charts in so many areas, exactly the kind of player you're looking for to be on your team. Fundamentally, he's sound. There were a few things fundamentally, but you could even see in the workout there were things that he's worked on, you know, in his footwork, a little bit in his upper body mechanics, a little bit better finish, things that are very easily correctable. You would see flashes of it on film sometimes in college, but when you went to the workout, when you saw his pro day, and then we worked him out individually, you could tell he's been working with some people, have been talking to him about some of those things. So other than that, he's played in the right kind of offense. He can think fast. He can play fast. He's big and he's strong. So it's just a question of getting in here and meshing with the guys and becoming a part of the team. And really what you want from all your players, especially a guy like that, to elevate everybody. You know, the quarterback competition that elevates everybody there. It should elevate the whole offense. It makes the defense better to go up against players like this. So that's what's so exciting about it.
There are questions about Wentz and his jump from North Dakota State in college to the NFL, but Reich does not seem the least bit concerned.
Not with this guy. He handles himself with class. He's a pro. Everyone who runs in this, you keep waiting for somebody to say, oh yeah, I saw him and it was a bad interview. I mean, he's great at interviewing. I mean, the guy really handles himself like a pro. He's very mature. He's very smart. I give him a lot of credit. He's done well for himself.
Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.
Thinking of the perfect post-Mother's Day gift for that special woman in your life? Well, join us for the inaugural Eagles Football Festival for Women on Saturday, May 21st at 9 a.m. Meet Eagles players and alumni and also hear from Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, who will be on hand to address the crowd. Activities throughout the day include on-field football drills and X's and O's film sessions with Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, and special teams coordinator Dave Phipp. The event will also include cheerleader clinics featuring Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders, locker room tours, and so much more. So there's something for all women to enjoy. Tickets are just $25 each and going fast. Order yours now at philadelphiaeagles.com/womensfestival. In a few moments, we're going to hear from ESPN's Sal Palantonio to get his view on where the Eagles stand, but it's time now to replay a piece we had on last week's podcast. Just minutes after the Eagles made Wentz the second overall pick in the draft, I spoke with Eagles chairman, CEO Jeffrey Lurie, about the move and what it means for this franchise. So Jeffrey, what's it feel like?
Well, it feels great. I mean, you know, you want to try to be great. You got to take risks. And the months and months of research on Wentz and Goff and all the quarterbacks, you know, it showed us that there were two really great prospects at the top of the draft. That doesn't happen too often, and even happens less often that you have an option to even go up and get one of them. Because usually a team that finishes, you know, 2-14 or whatever, they usually need a quarterback. So this was a rare, rare opportunity. And you never know. But if you don't take a chance at having a great franchise quarterback, then you're really not taking a risk for greatness. And that's what this is all about.
Tell me what your thoughts are on Carson and just the intangibles, what you saw on film, everything about him, because I know you spent so much time with him.
Yeah, incredibly impressive 23-year-old, incredibly impressive, very comfortable in his own skin. Ultra competitive, terrific leader. Everyone you talk to just love playing with this guy because all he wants to do is win and win big in everything he does, whether it's classes, football, everything. Just has an infectious personality, one that's just outgoing and open to everybody. But the real thing was a competitive toughness. When you watch the film, it's a big-time quarterback in a small school program. They won every national championship, but you still have that leap. And they ran a pro offense. Carson is very bright, and I think he will love playing in Philly. We got the best fans in the world, and I think he will just love playing here, and I think everyone will love him.
As Los Angeles is on the clock, what were you thinking?
You know, I was, Howie and I were talking, we were 99.999% sure we're getting Carson. But I was thinking, you know, it's great that LA is back in the league. I think it's a great city to have an NFL team. They've deserved it for a long time. And it's great they're starting with a terrific young player in Jared Goff. And luckily, though, we're starting with Carson Wentz and to add to our group that's already a pretty good group. So can't wait to get Carson into Philadelphia and in this building because it's just his energy and his positive nature. And he wants to be great. He's got a great opportunity.
Comparisons with 1999 in terms of just everything that has happened to this moment?
That's the closest comparison, Dave. We, there we didn't have to move up to get Donovan, but it was a clear thing where we really realized Donovan was the quarterback we wanted. In this case, we were very happy with Carson, with Jared. It was like two terrific young quarterbacks staring at us. So a little different, but to be able to accomplish that in the offseason and be able to move up from 13-8 and 8-2, it's hard, it's complicated. You got to have cooperating teams. It doesn't happen often, and when it can happen, you got to take advantage of it. You got to go for it.
I know Eagles fans are really excited. You're excited for them to get to know Carson Wentz, aren't you?
I am, and it's just I think what he brings is something very special, and I think he'll be a great addition, and there's no rush to play him. He can learn with the great coaches we have. I mean, that was by design that we have Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, and John DeFilippo, three terrific quarterback mentors and teachers, because now the real work begins. He's a great talent. He's a great person, very mature, but now the real work begins, and can he transform himself from a terrific young man who's playing at a very high level in college to an NFL star, and that's what you're banking on.
Well, congratulations. Good luck the rest of the weekend. Yeah,
thanks, Dave.
In this week's press coverage, Sal Palantonio from ESPN thinks the Eagles are going to be fine, just fine, in the NFC East this season.
Time now for our press coverage. We go to ESPN's Sal Palantonio, who was here all of last week as the Eagles made their mark in the 2016 NFL Draft. Sal, welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 17. Your thoughts on what the Eagles accomplished last week?
Well, you know, moving up to number two and drafting Carson Wentz, I think is a great trade. I really do. I praised it at the time, and now having spent a little time with Carson Wentz and having spent a little time with Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman, I understand the plan and I understand the player a lot better. And having spent some time around this draft and seen what teams have accomplished over the years, to me, if you have an opportunity to get a young man like this with this skill set, you got to do it. And I think it's a great trade for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sal, your takeaway from spending some time with Carson Wentz and what impression he made on you?
Well, I think he's going to be eminently coachable. I think that's the most important thing. For any quarterback who comes in to the NFL, you have to adapt to the league. You have to adapt to the pace. You have to adapt to the amount of knowledge that you have to accrue in a very short period of time. And I think when you look at him and speak to him, you can just see this is a guy who in his entire life has been on a mission, has a sense of purpose, has a sense of seriousness. I think he will take the job seriously. He will take the work seriously. But I didn't get a sense that he took himself too seriously. And I think that's a delicate balance in a personality, especially when you're coming in to play quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, you're going from the 115th media market in North Dakota to the fourth largest media market, David. That's a huge jump. It's nearly unprecedented that I can think of in terms of a quarterback with all the kind of pressure that he's going to face. And that alone takes a special person to deal with.
Sal, when you spoke with Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, what sense did you get as far as how they want to bring him along and what they like so much about him as a quarterback?
You know, I think this will be a work in progress. And, you know, I don't think that it's important what they say now. It's how they react to his progress or lack thereof in the coming months. I think my view, David, is that Carson Wentz has to start in 2016. I don't think you can be successful with this player in this city if he's sitting and watching, especially how much you invested in him. And I don't think it's too fast. I go back to Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman. All of them suffered through their lumps, went through the bumps and bruises of being a rookie quarterback in the NFL, and came out the other side better for it. Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco. You can go down the list of what they accomplished in their rookie seasons. I think Carson Wentz, if you look at the Eagles' schedule, around Atlanta, Seattle on the road, the Packers on Monday Night Football, during that period of time, somewhere along the way, I think Carson Wentz will be starting. Doug Peterson gave up the starting job to Donovan McNabb around week 9 or week 10. I think it was in 1999. That's where I see Carson Wentz taking over. No matter if Sam Bradford, who eventually comes back and figures out that, you know, this is where he's got to be, or Chase Daniel, I think Carson Wentz will start this year. I think he should start this year. I think making him sit the entire year is actually the wrong thing to do.
Sal, the counter argument there would be he's only started 23 games in college in North Dakota State, not exactly, you know, Michigan. Your point on that, how do you counteract that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point, David, but I think that people will realize right away, especially in that building, I'm not talking about outside the building, I'm talking about inside the building, that he has a skill set that's easily translatable to the NFL. That's the reason why he was the number two overall pick, and the Eagles invested 5 picks to get him. 2, that he had responsibilities at North Dakota State, at the line of scrimmage specifically, the ability to audible, the ability to set the protection, the ability to do what he can do mentally at the line of scrimmage to put the team in the right place, the right spot, in the right play. I think that's another reason why they invested 5 draft picks to go up to number 2 to get him, despite the fact that he's from a 1AA school. So I think those two things will become abundantly apparent. And then his ability, I think, to absorb information and put it to use on the football field, I think will translate well to putting him out there as a starter very early on. And when I mean early on, I mean year one.
Sal, the goal here is to be competitive in 2016, make the playoffs, hopefully win the Super Bowl. At the same time, keep an eye with the long term in mind. How do you view what the Eagles have done through free agency, the positions they hit there, and then in the draft here, kind of investing in the future?
You know, I think they've done a good job of purging and moving on. They did need to purge. I think there's some things that they did that I didn't even think that they would pull the trigger on. Getting rid of DeMarco Murray, that was an incredibly bold move. DeMarco Murray had some life left in him. He wanted to move on, and they obviously pulled the trigger on that trade. Jettisoning Byron Maxwell, I think that's an incredibly bold move. I mean, he did not live up to his contract, but he's young. That was something that I was really impressed with them doing, sticking to their plan. I think this team will be competitive in the NFC East. And as far as the draft goes, you know, I don't see a bona fide week one starter from this draft. Maybe Isaac Simalu of Oregon State starts at left guard between two Pro Bowl players, Jason Kelce and Jason Peters, the two Jasons. Maybe he does, and if he does, then, you know, this draft, I think, will be a success right away. The others, we'll have to see. I think Wendell Smallwood will have to make a contribution of some kind. You know, Ryan Matthews has been injury-prone through his career, so I see Smallwood, depending on his blitz pickup, depending on his smarts, because this offense has got a lot of nomenclature and a lot of jargon, and it's difficult to pick up, as everybody knows, for rookies to come in to the Andy Reid permutation of the West Coast offense. So it can be difficult, but I think Smallwood will make a large contribution by the time the season's over. So from those two things, I think it's important. I look at the Cowboys, I just don't agree with what they did defensively, Dave. You know, they only had 11 turnovers last year. They forced 11 turnovers. That's the fewest of any team in NFL history. Elias Sports Bureau put that out after the Cowboys drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the first round and didn't go with the defensive player, and then picked the defensive player in the second round who can't get on the field in 2016. I think they really ignored the defense, and I don't think the Cowboys are going to be that much better than they were last year, despite the fact that Tony Romo is coming back fully healthy. I think Sterling Shepard, the pick that the Giants made at wide receiver, will give the Eagles fits when you pair him with Odell Beckham Jr. And the Giants defense, all they have to do is play a little bit better, and I think they'll be competitive for the division title. And I kind of like what the Redskins did with Josh Doctson. There's another guy that'll give, I think, the Eagles matchup problems offensively. So it's going to be a competitive division, but I think the number one thing that you have to remember is the change on defense. I think having a Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator, people will be excited by how this team plays defense.
Sal, you mentioned Sam Bradford. That is the looming question here early in May. What happens with him? So I'll ask you, what happens with Sam Bradford?
I don't know, David, but he needs to come back sooner rather than later. It was interesting to me that Coach Peterson, in his comments on Saturday, said Sam is on the roster, and then talked about how much time he's missing and how, you know, it'll be difficult for him to remain the starter if he continues. It would be difficult for anybody to remain a starter if you miss all that time in the offseason program. There's a reason why you have an offseason program. There's a reason why you have an offseason program with a new head coach and a new offense. And while Bradford knows a little of the offense, Chase Daniel was brought in here, and I talked to Chase Daniel in the locker room a couple of times about this. He was brought in not only to help a rookie quarterback, but to help Sam Bradford this year in transitioning back into the West Coast offense. If he misses more time, he's going to hurt himself more. I think he's got to come back sooner rather than later. I would be absolutely shocked if Sam Bradford did not come back for the OTAs the week after. So we got rookie minicamp the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and then the OTAs are the following week. So if he doesn't come back for those OTAs, I will be very surprised.
Thanks so much, Sal. As always, dynamite stuff from Sal Palantonio, ESPN. We'll see you around Philadelphia real soon.
Thanks for having me on the show, David.
Thanks, Sal.
Thank you for joining us on the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 17. Thanks to our all-pro producer, Brian Thomas, for making this so great. And thanks to you for spending time listening. Have a great Eagles day, and we'll be back next week with a report on the rookies in our Eagles Live Podcast.